What an enormous 48 hours it has been for the NBL. On the global stage, it has been absolutely superb. And this is a very special edition of NBL Now. Let's call this the NBA Draft Edition of NBL Now. Great to have your company. I'm Jack Heverin. Olgun Yulic from ESPN to join us very, very shortly. But it gives me an enormous amount of pleasure off the top of the show to welcome the general manager of the Next Stars program, Liam Santamaria from New York City. And as I look down my screen, Liam, welcome. And you've got that glow of a proud father right now.
Well, I am a proud father at all times, Jack, of course, with Lachlan and Grace. But very, very proud right now of what our Next Stars have done last season, or right across last season and over the course of the program. But in particular, the way in which their prospects and their potential has been recognized these last couple of days, and a bunch of them getting snapped up in the NBA draft in historic fashion.
Four Next Stars in the draft, which is brilliant. And I said to you before we started recording, and we're only a couple of hours removed from the second day of the NBA draft, that how cool it was to sit at home and see NBL highlights rolling throughout the ESPN coverage. Obviously, Alex Sarr at number two, which we'll get to shortly, but Bobby and AJ and Ariel at the very, very end, to see NBL highlights on a global stage it's quite surreal in some ways.
Yeah, for sure. And certainly with Alex at the very pointy end of the draft, you know, a potential number one guy, a guy everybody felt like was going to be a top pick and was one of the headline names of the draft. His image has been everywhere, you know, and you turn up to Barclays Center and it's all over the front of the arena, and then you walk inside and he was very much front and center. And then you're right, especially, you know, watching today and seeing the vision of Bobby Klintman playing for Cairns and Ariel Hook-Porty with Melbourne United, guys that we've grown to love over the past season or in Ariel's case, last few seasons. But now are going to fly the nest and, you know, we're going to watch on with great pride and enjoyment as they launch their NBA careers.
Well, why don't we go backwards rather than start at the top? Let's go to the very bottom, because it is a great story, and that is Ariel Hook-Porty, who, as you say, we've known to grow and love. He's been with us for three seasons. One of them he didn't play. He was out for the entire season with an Achilles injury. Sometimes in life, Liam, people just deserve an opportunity. And I speak unanimously that Ariel Hook-Porty deserves an opportunity in the NBA. And he comes at the last pick in the draft.
Yeah, it was so good. I was so rapt to see that. I had no word in advance that he was going to get picked at 58. And there we were. And there were other really good players still on the board. Guys I thought were going to get picked. A guy like, you know, Edwards, for example. And, you know, obviously we thought maybe Trenton might be a look. Montas was still on the board. But, you know, I was really, really hoping that Ariel was going to hear his name called. We did get a sense, talking with his representatives in the last couple of days, that there was genuine interest in him. What I found a little bit difficult was some of those teams that really liked Ariel Hook-Porty in particular happened to pick up big guys earlier in the draft. So he started to feel like, oh, maybe that kind of impacts on Ariel's chances a little bit. But he got snapped up, and we thought it was Dallas initially, but turned out it was New York, and Big A is going to be in the Big Apple, which is really, really cool. And those of us in Australia who have followed his journey, those of us who were watching, I think you and I might have been calling the preseason game at the Blitz the night when, you know, he went down and he snapped his Achilles tendon. So to recover from that, to watch his journey, such a lovable character and a guy, I think, to my understanding, he's going to be on a two-way contract off the top here, which is going to be great. I think, and I've been telling NBA teams this, I think he's ready to go to play backup center minutes in the NBA from a physical standpoint, in terms of knowing exactly who he is and what he can do. So excited to see what he's going to do as a Knickerbocker.
And one thing we know about Ariel is he will work, Liam. He will put his head down and he will get to work from day one.
They're going to love him. And the other thing is they don't have a lot of bigs. They don't have a lot of bigs on that roster. So a real opportunity for him. Look, my fingers are crossed that maybe somehow he gets a guaranteed deal right out of the gate here. If you're a second-round pick, especially if you're a late second-rounder, it's always a negotiation. What's it going to look like? My expectation is it'll probably be a two-way off the top. But it would not shock me one little bit if that gets converted into a guaranteed deal at some stage this upcoming season. So I think he's going to roll into Las Vegas, dominate at the Summer League, and get a lot of good opportunities with that Knicks team, and I think he's going to do really well.
You got a pick 37 on the board, and it says Bobby Klintman, CNS, which stands for Cairns. He's been drafted from the Cairns Taipans. He's going to get his chance in the NBA, and we saw flashes of it across the season, Liam, with the Taipans, that this young man has got the million-dollar smile, he's got the baby face, but he's got a level of untapped athleticism that in the NBA style and the NBA court could be very, very interesting to watch.
For sure. So it was great to see him get picked up there in the 30s. Could have been a first-round pick, genuinely. But the way in which the draft went was wild, actually, over the course of the 2 days, the way the picks fell. So turned out he was still on the board as we went to bed last night. And then, you know, wasn't picked in those first couple of picks. I really thought Toronto at 31 was a chance for Bobby. And when that didn't happen, I started to wonder where he might land. So to get snapped up by Detroit, a rebuilding team who really needs shooting. They picked up Ron Holland at the start of the draft, which didn't necessarily answer that question about their building roster. So if he can go in and knock down shots, which is going to be a key component of what he needs to bring at the NBA level, I think he's going to carve himself out some opportunities. So nothing confirmed yet, again, because he's a second-round pick, but my expectation is that that's going to be a guaranteed contract, and which means he's going to get good opportunity here over his first couple of years in the league, and you'll see if he can grab it with both hands like we watched him do in Far North Queensland last season.
So you go back about a month and we started to see some reports filtering online about AJ Johnson, and you would have no doubt had so many more in-depth conversations, Liam, than what we would have been privy to. But the reports were starting to come through that AJ's star was rising. Sam Vecenie was all over this really, really early on. Jonathan Givony also was on Twitter saying that keep an eye on this kid. He's going to come out of nowhere. Did we expect him to go at 23, though? Like, to me, the last month has just been incredible in the life of this young guy.
Yeah. Well, look, let's go back a bit further. So I've always felt like AJ was a first-round pick. And you know, you would recall us having these conversations on and off air. I think, you know, he's that kind of prospect when we picked him up. The opportunities weren't there for him to the level that I feel like maybe they could or should have been last season in Illawarra. He had a bit of a difficult time transitioning and handling the physicality and the physical nature of a big pro league. But it doesn't change the fact that he was an 18-year-old then, he's a 19-year-old now, and he's just dripping with potential and upside and talent. So athletic, so quick, can really handle the ball, shoots the heck out of it, improved enormously at the defensive end over the course of his time in the NBL. And the other thing is we always kind of knew that he was going to be a riser in the pre-draft process. He was going to look good in workouts. He was going to interview well. Intel on him was always going to be really solid. So my understanding and what was that, you know, we all saw him perform really well at the combine. Played on both those days and performed well, and that helped his stock. He worked out with Milwaukee a few days prior to the combine and blew him away. And then the interesting thing about his pre-draft process was he was basically shut down from there. Mm-hmm. So he didn't participate in the WME Pro Day, and then all of a sudden he wasn't appearing on those lists of who was working out where. So there was a sense that Milwaukee was a team that was, you know, really high on AJ. They had picked 23 and picked 33. What he did do, though, was work out with a number of teams who had picks in the late 20s in the lead up to the draft, which I think gave Milwaukee a sense like, you know what, we're going to need to snap him up at 23 or else he might not be there for us at 33. So that's why there was an air of expectation on the night when it got to pick 23, and then when Adam Silver read out his name, there was great excitement. And the other part about all that, Jack, was we saw AJ the day before the draft here in New York. The fact that he was here in New York City, I said, are you going to be in the stands, my man? He said, yes, I am. And so he was going to be in the building. It started to all point towards the fact that his name was going to get read out in the first round.
That's fantastic. And he said some wonderful things in a bunch of interviews about the NBL and Illawarra and about, yes, he didn't play a lot of minutes, but he did a lot of watching and a lot of learning, and it's prepared him for what's coming next. So well done to AJ. And then, of course, there's Alex Saar. We didn't have to wait too long, Liam, for the draft. It was just a question of whether he was going pick one to Atlanta or pick two to Washington. He goes to Washington with the second pick. Now, I'm not sure if you saw this in the ESPN coverage because you were there, but Alex was very emotional, very emotional in the first interview that he did. And he spoke about a raft of different things in his journey. You could see what this meant to him, which was just awesome to see from all the way back here in Australia as well.
Yeah, we didn't see that in the building at the time, but there was a reference that somebody made on the broadcast that was coming across that he was emotional. So was able to kind of check that later on socials. And yeah, the other thing is talking with his mum and dad that they spoke about how it wasn't an enjoyable draft when Olivier went through for them. And that was tough. And it was tough for Alex as well, because they support each other so well, those two brothers. So that's where the emotion came from. And the fact that he was, you know, a top two pick was fantastic. It was historic for us. It's the highest a player's ever been drafted out of the NBL. And obviously he's the highest a next star's ever been selected. You know, taking that from LaMelo, who was pick three. Super exciting. The fact is, whether he was pick one or pick two was decided by the lottery. If Washington had the number one pick, yeah, Alex Saar would have gone, been the first name called. So in the end, in the long run, pick one sounds great, looks great. But what's more important is at the top there is that you find a great fit. It's better to go pick two to a great fit than pick one to a bad fit where you can't max it out over those first couple of years. So I'm excited for him at Washington, and he's going to get plenty of opportunities to grow, continue to develop, and tap into the enormous potential that he has.
So holistically, Liam, four picks from the Next Stars program go in the NBA draft over the course of 2 days. So we got a nice spread of coverage throughout both days of the draft as well. What does this mean for the program? To have someone go at two and then to have some great stories at the back end like we spoke about. How does it, I guess, resonate on a global stage about the Next Stars program?
Yeah, for me, it's an enormous success because, I actually had four sort of boxes I'd been thinking that would be great to get ticked from these couple of days. One was for Alex to be a top two pick. And that was done. The other was have multiple guys selected in the first round, and that occurred. The other one was to have at least three guys get fully guaranteed deals, and we're waiting for official confirmation of that with Bobby Clintman, but that's looking like it's going to be the case. And the fourth was to have at least four of our six guys selected. So tick, 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 which is a great way for the 2 days to play out. I think the Next Stars program already has a great reputation over here in the States and worldwide. It's handled the challenges of G League Ignite coming into the fold, and it's handling the challenges of the NIL existence within the landscape. It's managed to navigate through the challenges of different situations in Europe, pivoting to you know, keep hold of their young talent. So, and that is because it's become a proven pathway. There's proof of concept that if you are a young player from anywhere around the globe and you want to launch an NBA career, coming and playing in the NBL is a great way to do that. It's going to help you to get drafted, but it's also going to help develop your game. Regardless of where you get picked up, you're going to come out of this experience a much better player because the guys that play here are great teammates, the coaches do a really, really great job at the team level. And we've got all of our teams invested in partnering in the program. So it's a great result. It just further strengthens the reputation of the program across the world. And, I'm looking forward to adding some new names to the program over the next couple of days and weeks that are just going to continue that moving forward.
More on them, I think, in a very upcoming episode of NBL Now. And I mean really upcoming episode of NBL Now. But just a couple before we finish off as well, because we've covered the draft, but Olgan's going to join us shortly to talk about the Summer League opportunities. Josh Bannon very much at the top of that headline, which is fantastic for him with the Clippers. But speaking of the Clippers, Trenton Flowers goes undrafted, but it didn't take long for him to get an opportunity at the elite level. Undrafted free agent signing with the Clippers.
Yeah, really exciting. Waiting to take some calls and find out a little bit more clarity around that, what that opportunity looks like for Trenton exactly. But, you know, I've seen on socials that the conversation that he had with Lawrence Frank and Steve Ballmer and Tyronn Lue and, you know, that he and his family, super happy for them that he's going to have this opportunity to, you know, get his foot in the door at the NBA level. That's awesome. And I'm waiting with bated breath to find out how this plays out for Mantas Rubštavičius as well, because I think he's one of the top guys that has gone undrafted. And can he find his way into a two-way deal? I was refreshing Shams and Woj post the draft on those guys that were getting two-way contracts or waiting for his agent to drop me a message. He's going to be at Summer League, and it might be a case of fighting for a two-way contract in Las Vegas during the NBA Summer League in a couple of weeks. And if that's the case, I think we're all going to bet on Mantas because we saw how competitive and how good a player he is last season with the Breakers. So still a little bit to play out with these couple of guys, and excited for all of them. Johnny Furphy, these Aussie guys that are also going to be playing at Summer League. It's an NBL off season, but it's just one thing after another right now to get excited about.
You have done an incredible job since you've joined the Next Stars program as the general manager. To have four players drafted across the draft, including pick two, is an unbelievable achievement by you and the team at the NBL behind the Next Stars program. So well done on behalf of everyone. I know you've got a lot of love on social media, as you rightly should, because you have been brilliant since stepping into the role. There is a beer for you somewhere in New York City. I have to let you go, and it's your job to go and find that. So thanks for joining us on NBL Now.
Thanks, man. I will. Hey, quick shout out to Jeremy Lohliger as well, who has been running the Next Stars program for such a long time and was a real key part of this recruitment cycle of these guys and the guys that I'm working with moving forward as well, and Vince Gravelli, Dave Anderson, and those kind of guys as well. And all of our teams, huge partners in this space, the GMs, the owners, the coaches, in terms of supporting these young men on their journey towards the NBA.
Have a cheeky one for us.
Thanks, Jack. Cheers, man.
From the general manager of the Next Stars program to the best newsbreaker in Australian basketball, Olgan Ulich joins us from ESPN.com.au. Olgan, good morning. My goodness, it's been a busy 24 to 48 hours.
It's been a crazy 2 days, Jack. It's been looking at waiting for the Australians to get drafted, seeing where the Next Stars are going to go. This has been really fun. I don't know if I'm a fan of the 2 days thing. I'm okay to get this done in 1 day, but it kept us on our toes for more than 24 hours, so I guess I'll take it this time around.
I think the killer was that we had to wake up at 4 o'clock this morning for the second round of the draft. What's the big takeaway from your perspective?
Oh, from an Australian perspective, it's Johnny Furphy. I felt upset for him because he didn't get drafted in the first round. He put his fit on, went to the green room and didn't get taken. And so that sucks. In ordinary drafts, it's okay. He'll get drafted in the second round. That comes just a few minutes later. But the fact that he had to, you know, go home and then wait until the second round of the draft, which was the next day and wasn't held at Barclays Center, was in a studio. That was a little bit annoying, but the landing spot I think is a really cool one. The Indiana Pacers, they're a team that I think suits his play style. He's a big wing. He can shoot it. He's athletic. That's a team that had the best offense in the league last season. They want to go up and down. So I think he fits what they do. Whether he plays initially, we'll see, right? They're pretty deep in his position, but they're the sort of team that I think fits his skill set. And Rick Carlisle of late has not been afraid to play young guys. And so I really like the fit, the landing spot. I like everything about the Pacers for Johnny Furphy.
Been following along your Twitter feed in the last few hours. There's a bit going on. Now that the second round and the draft is over, we turn our attention to two-way contracts and then also Summer League opportunities. Let's start with Josh Bannon at the Brisbane Bullets. You reported last week that 10 teams had shown interest in Josh Bannon and he worked out with pretty much all of them. He's headed to the Summer League and he's going to play for the Clippers.
Yeah, that's right. He did a slew of NBA workouts. He was going from workout to workout, and he finished his workout schedule with sort of a West Coast trip where he hit the Lakers, Clippers, and the Warriors. And the Clippers are the team that want to bring him in to play Summer League with them. And this is just a really good opportunity. He went undrafted in this draft. He wasn't expected to hear his name called. But for him to get a Summer League gig so quickly, that bodes well for his potential chances at maybe a two-way or picking up some sort of deal maybe in the next year or two. But he'll suit up for them. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, what his skill set looks like at that level. He's like a four in the NBL. And I think he's thinking and what he wants to do is see if he can delve into that three game, see if he can play on the wing a little bit more. And so we'll see how he can compete at that sort of NBA style of play level.
Just trying to help our listeners understand a little bit, if you can, about Josh Bannon, particularly for Brisbane Bullets supporters. So he's got a Summer League opportunity. Should they be nervous about what happens next? And I'm talking about what this upcoming NBL season. Should they be a little worried that Josh Bannon won't be there?
Look, there's two ways you can look at this. Generally, a guy will go and play in the Summer League and that will be it, right? He will come back and play for his NBL team and it'll be just fine. But then there are situations like a few years ago with Jack White, where he was with Melbourne United, went and played in the Summer League and was really, really good. And he ended up getting a two-way contract and that turned into him not being with Melbourne United. And so there are those two ways to look at it. Generally, a Summer League deal is just a really good opportunity for these guys to showcase their skill set in front of basically the entire NBA community that goes into Vegas, and whether they play in LA or Utah as well. But it's just an opportunity for them to basically show their skill set. I think the overwhelming likelihood is that someone like Josh Bannon and all these guys we're going to talk about playing Summer League that are signed with NBL teams are going to be back with their NBL teams.
One of them is Tyler Robertson, who signed with the Sydney Kings for this upcoming season, part of the raft of youngsters that Sydney are setting up for their future. But he'll also get a Summer League opportunity. He's going to play for Washington.
Yeah, so Tyler Robertson only worked out for one team in this pre-draft cycle. He had multiple workouts set up, but he chose to forego those so he can join the Australian Boomers for those exhibition games in Japan. And so the Wizards were the one team that he worked out for. And from what I'm told, they really liked him and basically locked him up there with a Summer League spot. And so, again, he's another guy. He's a 6'6 wing. We're excited to see what he looks like in Sydney. We saw little glimpses of him in those games against Japan last week. But he gets an opportunity to do some stuff in the NBA. And I think his game almost better suited to the NBA with the spacing that you can play with. I think the shooting skill set is there. The creation is there. The Wizards are a team that I guess he'll suit up next to Alex Saar at the NBA Summer League.
Which is cool to have a nice little link there. Jolawala Chul's been on the periphery for the last 3 or 4 years now. He's certainly hunting and chasing that NBA dream, and he's been oh so close a couple of times. He gets another chance at Summer League. He'll be with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, and this is, you know, JLA doesn't have that much time left to continue chasing this dream. He's hit 30 years old, right? And so this may be one of the last opportunities he gets to show off his skill set with the Sacramento Kings. And he's someone who I'm told he'll play at the California Classic with the Kings and continue playing with them throughout their Summer League stint. But again, he's someone I'm intrigued to see what his skill set looks like at that level. We know he likes to put the ball on the floor. He's a versatile big. Coming off a really impressive season with Melbourne and then went on to Africa and did even better. And so we'll see. This might be his final opportunity to get that NBA deal that he's been craving for the past few years.
So that's a Summer League opportunities for some players that are well known to us here in the NBL. Another that's well known to us is Trenton Flowers. Wasn't picked up in the draft, but he's going to get an opportunity as an undrafted free agent, and he'll also be at the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, and so I expect Trenton Flowers to play in the Summer League. And I put him in a similar boat to AJ Johnson. I think AJ Johnson is more highly sought after, of course. He was a first-round draft pick. But he's someone who didn't have the craziest level of production in the NBL. But when NBA teams look at him, they see the skill set. They see the potential. They see the athleticism, the upside. That's what I think the Clippers would be betting on here with Trenton Flowers. Again, we saw glimpses of it. And when it's a teenager coming into a professional league like the NBL, for the most part, you're only going to see glimpses of those things. But that's really all NBA teams need to see in order to take a bet on someone like AJ Johnson or Trenton Flowers. And for the Clippers, they're a team that, at least right now, we have to see what sort of moves they do. They're a win-now team. But there's no harm in taking a flyer on a long-term player like Trenton Flowers.
I feel like a little bit of an unknown, the Los Angeles Clippers, so I'll have to wait and see. But great chances for all of those names that we mentioned. Let's head back home a little closer as we start to load up towards the NBL 25 season. We're a little over 80 days away from Hoops Fest all starting the season off in Western Australia. The Adelaide 36ers have been a little quiet on some fronts when it comes to player signings. There has been a couple of misguided reports about who potentially may join their coaching staff. They have announced only a short time ago that they have found a lead assistant to work under Scott Ninnis.
Yeah, they've been looking for a really high-level assistant to be next to Ninnis. They've locked in Mike Wells. Now, he was recently an assistant coach for the Charlotte Hornets. He spent time with the Utah Jazz, the Lakers, a bunch of NBA teams. And so he's sort of a veteran on the NBA assistant coaching carousel. He spent time with the Team USA program as well. The 36ers, as soon as they signed Scott Ninnis, they knew right away, and they flagged it to Ninnis, that they wanted to bring in not just an assistant coach, but a lead assistant, an associate head coach. That's the sort of person they wanted. They threw around a bunch of names. They asked the question to a lot of people. They asked the question of Brendan Joyce. They asked the question of Chase Buford. Obviously, someone like Buford was not going to take a job like that.
No.
But they've now locked in Mike Wells, and he's an experienced person to have someone next to Ninnis, who hasn't coached at a high level recently outside of last season. And so I guess this is a little bit of insurance to have next to someone like that. And now the 36ers, we've said it for a few weeks now, but all eyes are on those import spots. The last signings they made were Ben Gristy and Jacob Ragone and Alex Starling, and they have two import spots to fill, and we're sort of waiting and seeing whether they can find someone to sign on the dotted line with them.
One that I just want to throw at you before we finish, and I don't normally like to throw things at you without notice, but we're here now, so we may as well do it, is around Jalen Adams. There's no suggestion that he may not come back to the Sydney Kings, but all I'm saying, Olgan, is I spent a lot of time on the depth charts and updating them yesterday, and there are still quite a few teams who need a stud import point guard. And Jalen Adams is a known commodity here in the NBL. We've heard some rumors. There's been little bits and pieces here or there. Has there anyone that's firmly had a crack at signing Jalen Adams for next season?
Yes. A known commodity is a good way to describe it, because that's what the Adelaide 36ers seem to be chasing a lot recently. So the 36ers are a team that I'm told did reach out to Jalen Adams. They did table a pretty substantial offer for him. Now, from what I understand, there has been no reciprocation of interest at this point. That may change, but at this point, doesn't seem like Jalen Adams really has any interest in going to Adelaide, but that seems to be their tack right now. They're going after guys who have been in the league before. I'm told that the 36ers have shown some level of interest in DJ Hogue. He will not be there. In Gary Clark, that the Illawarra Hawks remain confident that if he's going to be in the NBL, he will be an Illawarra Hawk. If he's not in the NBL, then he could go elsewhere, right? There's a lot of money out there for Gary Clark, but I know the 36ers are a team that showed interest in him. The 36ers showed interest in Jarrell Brantley. Mm. So they're looking at a lot of these known commodities, like you said, and they're seeing which ones may want to suit up to be a 36er. And as of right now, there have been no takers, but they are doing their due diligence in reaching out to everyone they can to try and fill those two import spots with really high-level guys.
Couldn't help but wonder if DJ Vasiljevic may have just gone into the front office and said, "Hey, I know a guy. I won a championship with a guy as a point guard. We work pretty well together."
And look, Jack, and I'll say this too. Mike Wells going in there isn't a small thing. Someone with that level of experience and the rooms he's been in, that is a helpful thing when it comes to recruiting potential free agents and things like that. And it's actually interesting. I'll mention this on the coaching front. He's one of just a bunch of sort of coaching changes and sort of assistant coaching carousel things that we've seen so far. We saw Sean Roger, who was an assistant under Justin Tatum at the Illawarra Hawks, head to the Sydney Kings under Brian Gorgeous. He was under Brian Gorgeous with the Illawarra Hawks a few years ago. I'm told that Sam Grogan, who was an assistant coach under Adam Ford in Cairns, is heading to the Illawarra Hawks to join Justin Tatum's coaching staff. So we're seeing a bit of a coaching carousel with some of these assistant coaches. And these guys we're mentioning, they're potential head coaches in the NBL in a few years' time. We saw Adam Ford make that jump. We saw Justin Schuler make that jump. These are the sorts of guys that I think are sort of next up in that potential Australian head coaching ranks over the next few years.
As always, plenty going on. And as always, you are at the forefront of the news, and you can check out all of Olgan's work at ESPN.com.au and, of course, on Twitter, or X, as it's now known as well. Olgan, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Get some sleep.
So that'll see us out for NBL now. A lot going on, of course. The best place to find out all of the information is NBL.com.au. All of the video from the NBA draft, all of the write-ups, all of the stories, it is all there for you. And of course, you can check it out on the NBL app as well. It's been a big 48 hours. Thanks for joining us on NBL Now.